MDRadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are, and I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and I'm very excited to have with us today our very special guest, Denise Panzers. Now, Denise is a national diabetes reversal coach. Now, you heard that right, folks, diabetes reversal. And we're going to talk about that today because that's very exciting and a real live possibility. I know a lot of people think that your likelihood of curing diabetes, reversing it, if you will, you probably have a better chance of winning the lotto and seeing the Loch Ness Monster in the same week, but we can accomplish it. And Denise knows firsthand about this. She was, as a young lady, angry, which I want to talk to her about, when she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, but she decided to take things into her own hands. She went back. She is now certified in holistic nutrition and homeopathy. She has really created a blueprint to help us reverse the effects of diabetes, which I could tell you, as a practicing cardiologist, is just a scourge upon this country. She was born and raised in Chicago, and her husband's now living the pirating life off of Naples, Florida. Without further ado, Denise, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Well, hi, Dr. Mike. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, this is great. And the first thing I want to get to is, and one of the things that struck me kind of in your description in the evolution of your path to where you wound up today, was that when you were diagnosed with diabetes, you got angry. So tell us about that.
Oh, I was. I actually landed in the hospital with pancreatitis, pneumonia. My glucose was 410, my A1C was 10%, my cholesterol was off the charts, and to look at me, I had been slender my entire life, and probably in the last year before I landed in the hospital, I probably gained about 15, 18 pounds, which is quite unusual for me. But, you see those symptoms coming up, and you think they're due to stress and overworking and maybe not prioritizing correctly, clearly not eating the way I should have been. And I'll tell you, I walked out of the hospital on 4 insulin shots a day, handed prescriptions for a whole bunch of medications. And, I was only in my mid-40s. So that life now that I had been enjoying looked like it was all out the window. And I knew in the back of my mind it was my fault somewhere, but I just didn't know exactly what I did wrong. And so laying in the hospital, it's not the best place if you're diabetic, to be quite honest.
It's not the best place. It's not the best place even if you work there like I do, let me tell you.
Well, okay, I'll give you that one. I agree. But you really, your outlook on life changes completely, and you really are just kind of in a feeling of despair that don't know how to move forward, you're frustrated, and you're not getting the answers that you want to get or you believe you should get. And so with chronic disease, and as I learned with diabetes, I pretty much was told I will never come off the shots or medication. And that would actually get worse as I aged. So I was truly angry about all of that. I was so upset.
Well, I think this is great because, unfortunately, your story is by no means atypical or rare. I think, a lot of folks, folks I've worked with, and we'll share some stories and trade some stories a little later on, who now is off all his diabetes medicine as well, including his cholesterol medicine, et cetera. And he expressed to me when we met face-to-face almost the exact same story that, he put on a little weight. He was a guy who loved food. He was a big foodie, maybe not exercising as much as he had, in years gone by. But this kind of just blindsided him really out of the blue. And like you, he was a little bit angry. But I think that was good because in his case, in Adam's case, what it did was really he took that energy, that anger, and then turned it very constructively to motivate him to seek out some things, because One of the things that I find in talking to folks, and Adam is actually from Canada, so it's really kind of a universal phenomena, is modern medicine is not very attentive. They give you some pills, they give you some shots, and they kind of brush out the door. What was your experience with that?
Actually, pretty much, I hate to say it, pretty much the same thing. And I think we've lost this connection between our physicians or hospital and the patient. And I'll tell you, the one thing that I have learned in all of this is physicians can do so much, but they really need help from their patients. So we can't blame all of our physicians, but we really have to look at collectively, what can we do together to really slow down this epidemic? And I have learned through my coaching that really where a doctor's reach kind of ends, when that patient walks out the door, that's where mine actually begins with the patients, because I'm in their homes and we're going out to dinners and luncheons and grocery shopping and wherever they need to be in their life, that's where I am to help them reverse the effects of their diabetes. So it's actually been quite wonderful.
Well, I think that's great. And I think you highlight a point. And I think, you know, as a person who has been trained in, has practiced, and still continues to practice what we might call Western medicine or a Western approach to medicine, I think part of the frustration, you know, is not really only on the patient's end, but in the physician's end. Because I can tell you the way we are trained and also really the way Western medicine is built, if we look at the history of it, you know, it kind of comes down from battlefield medicine, from triage. And we are really, really good at things like, you know, when people come in, I'll speak from my own experience, when people come in with a heart attack, you know, we can treat it. A lot of times they recover with minimal or no, you know, damage, and we can get them out the door, you know, in way better shape than we came in. But we're not really good at chronic diseases. We're not good at managing the long term. We're not good at sort of, you know, helping them appreciate the forest. You know, we're great at showing somebody, hey, that's a pine tree. Don't go over there. But we just don't get them out of the forest. And I think that's where a lot of patients kind of find themselves lost. And your experience is not unique, but you did something about it, gosh darn it. So what was the next things? What did you do? How did you take that anger and turn it around?
Well, I actually went and cleaned out my kitchen and thought I would just start from scratch because everything.
Okay,
is...
wait. I'm going to stop you right there because now okay. You got me curious. What was in your kitchen?
Okay, well, let's see.
Come
I'm
on,
Italian,
you gotta
so
come clean. Gotta
tons,
come clean.
Tons of pasta. You know, when I first got married over 30 years ago, I used to cook everything fresh, and as life got busy, it became packaged products, right?
Our cupboards were there you go. Filled, yeah, right? There you go.
And,
right,
you know,
right.
I'm on the road traveling for work, so it's right. Drive-through restaurants. Oh, my gosh, yep. Those are horrible. So, you know, it was really some self-reflection. What do I need to do to take control? Because I knew I could take control if I put my mind to it. So literally cleaned out everything. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I left the hospital, I walked out with a list of foods that I was supposed to eat. Unfortunately, they were labeled as diabetic-friendly foods, which meant they were just a different set of prepackaged foods. So the first
and I
want
to stop you. I want to stop you right there because you hit on one of the keys. And folks who lots of our listeners have read The Fallacy of the Calorie, and we're going to talk about it. I talk about it a lot more in my new book that's coming out, Food Shaman: The Art of Quantum Food. It is really the modern Western diet is a diet predicated on, and you hit the nail on the head, Denise, on convenience. And we've sort of sacrificed fresh flavors, real food, natural food for this convenient food. And I think when we look to a lot of organizations, we're still practicing nutritional recommendations from 100 years ago at the beginning of the history of nutrition, but they were treating things like scurvy, you know, a lack of vitamin C, you know, causes this. And this idea that there's one nutrient here or it's fat, which don't get me started on because that's completely wrong, a whole nother topic, cholesterol, et cetera, another thing that we're wrong about in these guidelines. You know, so often sends folks, as you said, really on another journey of misadventure. And so I think what you're highlighting is a real, real important point for the folks, which is, you know, unfortunately, and I will step out there as I often do and put my, you know, butt hanging out on the line for the slings and arrows from folks. But a lot of these professional organizations don't know their butt from a hole in the ground when it comes to talking about, you know, the natural foods and the differences. They'd like to talk about meats and fats and proteins. And folks, what do we eat? We eat food. And so what you're bringing to the forefront, Denise, is really, I think, a viewpoint that we have to emphasize for folks, especially folks trying to reverse the effects of the modern Western diet. And that is, we need to pay attention to the quality of our food. So you got rid of all this processed, convenient garbage. Then what do we do?
Yeah, so what I did is I started looking at the quality, as you said, the quality of the food. So, you know, I was raised a steak and, you know, meat and potatoes girl. So, all right, I like that. I think we still need healthy fats in our diet. We don't get enough. So I turned to grass-fed, 100% grass-fed beef. That's all
fantastic.
We have in our home.
Fantastic.
It's great, and it tastes so much better, right? It's healthier. We get the good fats from there. I really like to look at organic foods, because I really don't want pesticides, or at least limiting the amount that's on there. So I look to all fresh foods, foods of color, right? The reds, the greens, the yellows, the oranges. So our plates now are filled with color. And I've also changed my attitude on what the main entree is. It used to be that steak covered the entire plate. So we use smaller plates, we eat till we're 80% full, and now the main portion of my plate is going to be
where did you get the 80% full from? Because I actually talk about this in the Food Shaman, because it's an interesting influence really from a very different culture than ours. So where did you pick up? Did you just kind of come up with that? Did you research it somewhere, that kind of 80% full?
You know, I did research it years ago, and funny that you mentioned that. Currently, I am actually volunteering, and I'm a co-chair for the Retail Food Committee here in Southwest Florida for the Blue Zones Project. And that's one of
there
the things
go.
That they really that what they really say is eat till you're 80% full. So it's great advice.
It does. It comes from the Okinawan diet, which we've heard is, you know, so very healthy. It's a tremendous blue zone. And for folks, we've talked about a couple times on the show, but blue zones, that's actually something, I think it's Dan Buettner, who headed that project for National Geographic, initiated some years ago. And the idea was, you know, there are these pockets around the globe where we find folks not only living to an older age, there's sort of an abnormal concentration of folks living to 100 or more. But most importantly, they're very healthy and they're very functional. So the idea was to look into these sort of mini isolated little pockets of culture and see, was there a common food? Was there a common way that they lived their lives, etc.? And in particular, when they looked at Okinawa, what they found was one of the remnants of kind of the Taoist teaching, which is, I believe it's called Hachi Habori, which means 80% full. And so one eats until one is 80% full. And then, you know, just take a moment. And, you know, Denise, I'm interested on your take on this, because we talk so much and you mentioned some Italian roots there, particularly in the health, health and food industry about the Mediterranean diet. And I truly believe one of the beneficial effects of the Mediterranean diet, and I like to use Mediterranean approach, is that those folks also too really slow down when they eat. And I think, you know, you get full with less because you allow, the stomach takes at least 20 minutes to tell the brain they've got something in the stomach. And I think sort of this much more mindful approach to food, you know, is responsible for some of these dividends. What's your take on that?
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, I think here in the U.S., we've taken meals to a whole different level of it has to
not a good one.
Well, exactly, not a good one at all. And I think to get back to you know, like when I grew up, you sat down, you had a meal. It was your time together. It was the socialization factor. People would speak during a meal. It took a while to eat a meal. Today, we're all sitting at a table with our phones, not paying attention to each other, and rushing through our meals to get on to the next activity. And I think slowing down is key. Our bodies need to rest. We're running around all day. Put in the good nutrients, things that are going to be quality foods, healthy fats, healthy grains, all the veggies that we can eat, because none of us probably eat enough vegetables and fruits like we should. And think about just breathing, right, while we're doing that, breathing and taking our time. So while I'm a proponent that, you know, food is a huge portion of our life, look at it a holistic level, life. We need to think about stress, proper sleep, getting some activity. You know, going to the gym for an hour a day may not be the best for some people. Maybe it's breaking it up and getting active throughout our day. So we really have to look at everything together. And, of course, our nutrition being the most important.
And you really do. And that's one of the things I highlight, the upcoming book, which I think you'll be excited about as we chat. Food Shaman really examines what I call the food experience. And so it's food centric. Obviously, as a chef and a cardiologist, that's my world. But it hits those soft edges that you allude to, which is, you know, how we eat, with whom we eat, you know, all things about that food experience. And to extrapolate a little bit on what you said, I think every single thing you said, every point you made is critical. And one of the interesting things, and we talk about it a little bit in the book, is another lesson from Japan is, you know, even if you can't get out to the gym, if you can take a break, and even if you live in a city, go to the park. The Japanese engage in something, and it's actually part of their national health program, believe it or not, called forest bathing. And by that, they simply get out and they walk in nature. So they walk through a park, you know, during their lunch hour, instead of, as you point out, us trying to multitask. And I think, you know, I understand we have to multitask. I do it tremendously. I'm sure you do. It's part of our culture. But there's a beauty. There is a cure to be found in simple monotasking and appreciating the food, appreciating the moment, appreciating the company we keep. Having said that, gosh, our lives are busy. So when you work with a client, how do you help them with those challenges?
So, well, sometimes it's just reprioritizing. So, for example, I have one client who they eat dinner late in the evening because the husband gets home late from work. But yet that didn't work for my client. Glucose levels started increasing. So we said, well, don't wait till 7 o'clock for dinner. Why don't you have your salad at about 5 o'clock? And then when your hubby comes home, you're already a little bit full. You can have the rest of the meal with your husband, spend time with him like you want to. Don't worry about eating separately. And that was a one quick, easy trick for her to not overeat. And it worked great. For someone else, it might be when you're done with your meal, maybe that's the time you go grocery shopping because you're then going to walk a little bit if you're not a person who really loves to exercise. So we move some of those things throughout the day.
Let me interrupt you one more time because you bring up a good point, and I learned this the hard way, folks. So take a page from my book, too. Never go to the grocery store hungry.
Exactly. It'll kill you every time.
Look at that bill. I think I'm shopping at Costco. I mean, it's like $800. It's like, oh my God, what did I buy?
I know. All because we're hungry, right? Or you graze through and taste everything through there, right? I know. So those are just two quick examples of we don't have to make drastic changes in someone's life. We just need to figure out how do we fit and prioritize within your lifestyle. And it's worked very successfully. I have folks that are coming off of medications. You know, three medications, they come to me, 7.7 A1Cs, can't get it down for years. We reprioritize. We look at foods that are going to help and taste good. That's key to keep people long term. And now they're off of all medication, and we're seeing normal A1C levels. And they're having a good time. It's long term.
And that's important, too, because, you know, our attitudes when we're happy, when we're enjoying our life, that feeds back positively. Folks, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, you know, one of the sort of, you know, smoldering kind of insidious things about diabetes is that it's pro-inflammatory and it gets that immune system out of whack and you're out of balance, you're in dis-ease. And, yeah, you know, those sorts of things, our immune system is definitely affected by our attitudes, our actions, etc. And so when we can get ourselves literally kind of in that happy place, that is going to have a measurable impact on our immune system, which again feeds back to our gut microbiome, changing that in a positive way. Again, that all adds to this end result that you're seeing with your patients when you work with them, which is they're off their medicines in terms of the diabetes, the high cholesterol, etc. And I want to emphasize for folks, what you're describing is not unique. I mean, I know some folks maybe listen and say, oh, well, you know, that's great, but, you know, that's we don't build science on, you know, one isolated case report, but the phenomenon you're reporting is not isolated. And that's what I want to emphasize. I've seen it with folks. The methods that I use are probably a little more food centric than yours. That's what I concentrate on. You do a much broader range, but it's the same approach. You know, we're talking about natural foods. Right. We're talking about quality foods. We're talking about having that steak on the plate. We're talking about adjusting the portion size. We're breaking that convenience culture, the modern Western diet. But these things that we do, you know, proactively like that, you know, we see it in big studies with the modern, with the Mediterranean diet versus the modern Western diet, where folks, literally, they reverse diabetes. Tell me a little bit more. Again, I want to touch back on your personal story. How long did it take you to kind of figure out this path? And you know, I'm assuming that you kind of got yourself off some, if not all, of the meds.
I have been completely drug and insulin free for about 7 years. So
fantastic.
Happiest moment of my life, let me tell you. Yeah. But yeah, you know what? It really didn't take as long as people think it should. Literally within weeks of truly making the correct dietary changes and looking at quality food and increasing my vegetable and fruit intake, literally in weeks, I started noticing differences. I was able to stop taking my mealtime insulin shots. And it took me several months to get off of my nighttime insulin. And I think some of that was because there was a fear factor that, you know, people still put in your head, oh, you can't come off insulin. And finally, I'm like, well, I'm going to come off of it. I'm doing well. My numbers are in normal ranges now. My oral diabetic medication I was on, I was off of that within about a month. So literally,
wow.
I mean, it didn't really take that long. And I made my mistakes along the way. I would try different foods to see if I could bring them back into my diet. And you realize very quickly what works and what doesn't work for you. And so those are the foods I stayed away from. And as years went on, there were some foods that I could reintroduce on a very small scale. So you need your body to rest, and I think that's what we forget with chronic disease. We need to get to a restful state physically, physiologically, mentally. You have to rest and let your body rebuild itself, rebuild that immune system. And it's amazing what happens on the other end. I'm happy. I don't have one, we don't even keep aspirin in our house. I mean, there is nothing
fantastic
of medication in our home.
Well, that's great. And you know, and if we think about it in our modern world, we do the same thing, right? I know I get frustrated. My computer's slow. It's not working. It's kind of, there's some little buggy thing. We shut it down and we reboot it. And so why do we not treat ourselves and our bodies in the same fashion? You know, when we're getting bogged down with all these things, stop, shut down, reboot. I think, you know, that is a great, great approach. Hey, Denise, where can folks, you know, find out? I know you've written a book, so if you could tell us a little bit about that and where folks can find out some more information about it.
Sure. So my book is called The Virgin Diabetic, Reverse the Effects of Type 2 Diabetes, Reduce Medication, and Improve Your Glucose Levels. It's available on Amazon.com. And it also comes with any of my coaching packages because I think it's a book of inspiration. It lets people know that even if you didn't know what you're doing to begin with, you can walk away on the other side of knowing so much more and taking control of your health. And that's what my book helps to provide. I've actually had folks read it and say they've dropped their fasting glucoses from 160 to 240 down to 72 to 108. Amazing, just for me reading my book a couple of times. So
that's
folks,
great.
tons of info. Or reach me through reversemydiabetes.net. I have tons of information out there to help folks. I even offer a free consultation if they want to dip their toe in and kind of find out what they might need to think about and do and see if coaching is right for them. It may or may not be, but folks are getting amazing results and they're happy. And that's what I look for. I want people to be happy.
Now, do folks need to be in the South Florida area for the coaching, or is this something that you're set up so it doesn't matter where they are in the States or even in the world that they can engage with you?
Correct. I have clients across the country, Canada. We do video chat very successfully. And for the few who have difficulty with video chat, we've actually worked it perfectly well between working on the phone with each other and over email. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And people across the country are just getting amazing results. I'm so proud of all of them. They're doing great.
Well, and I'm proud of you, you know, speaking from, you know, a professional, you know, healthcare provider. You know, you're the kind of patient I love, somebody who gets out there and, you know, takes the advice and isn't satisfied with it, you know, and pushes those boundaries. And I got to tell you, you know, from a culinary perspective, I'm proud of you too. You know, it's, you looked for a solution that made you happy. You kept the steak on the plate, but you understood that, hey, wow, this convenience culture has given us something different in terms of this drive-through burger versus, you know, a crafted, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished. They're not the same sort of thing. You know, and I love your emphasis on being happy. And, you know, that really is one of the key messages that comes through, you know, my new book in terms of the food shaman is that
60.
We're here. We really, really need to be happy. So, Denise, I'm going to ask you one more time, if you could, for the folks, the name of the book, where they can get it, and your website to get a hold of you.
Sure. It's The Virgin Diabetic, available on Amazon.com. And my website is reversemydiabetes.net.
And Denise, I want to thank you so much for being here. I think you and I potentially may meet on the television set. We've both been talking to Charles about helping him with his new show, Reversed, which will be airing down the road in 2018 on Discovery Health Channel. So I look forward to meeting you in the kitchen there, and maybe we can craft up some things together. And folks, go out, get yourself a copy of this book. If you have diabetes, you know someone with diabetes, great advice here. And until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.